Special welcome to you all this morning hour on this Sabbath day. Psalm 93, the last verse says, "Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house, O Lord, forever." May we together sense that this morning, the holiness of the Lord's house and the certainty of His testimonies. So we begin our service with prayer and receiving of God's blessing. Our help, Lord God, is in Thy name. It is in Thee who has made the heavens and the earth, in Thee who keepeth truth forever, never forsaking the works of Thy hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our opening psalter this morning is from Psalter 315. Praise Jehovah, all ye nations, all ye people, praise proclaim. And what follows in 315, the only verse that we have there. Let us now turn in the Holy Scriptures to the hearing and reading of the law of God. And let us do so this morning from Deuteronomy chapter 5. So chapter 5, let's read the first 21 verses. And then afterwards we will read from the Heidelberg Catechism the question and answer on the fifth commandment, that is on Lord's Day 39. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, "Hear, O Israel, the statutes and the judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us, who are all of us here alive this day. The Lord talked with you, face to face, in the mount out of the midst of the fire. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord, for you were afraid by reason of the fire, and went not up into the mount, saying, 'I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt have none other gods before me. Thou shalt not make thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself unto them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and the fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Keep the Sabbath day to sanctify it as the Lord thy God has commanded thee. 6 days thou shalt labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thine ox, nor thine ass, nor any of thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates, that thy manservant and thy maidservant may rest as well as thou. And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and that the Lord thy God brought thee out thence through a mighty hand and by a stretched out arm. And therefore the Lord thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God has commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, neither shalt thou commit adultery, neither shalt thou steal, neither shalt thou bear false witness against thy neighbor, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's wife, neither shalt thou desire thy neighbor's house, his field, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his ox, or his ass, or anything that is thy neighbor's. And then, Lord, say, question 104, what does God require in the fifth commandment? That I show all honor, love, and fidelity, that means faithfulness, to my father and mother and all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weaknesses and infirmities, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. Let's now sing of Psalter 60, the second and the third verse, for that grace of God to teach us how to live according to his will. None shall be put to shame that humbly wait for thee. Psalter 60, verse 2 and 3. Let's read the chapter out of Acts chapter 3. Well, we read the entire chapter this morning. First the miracle, and then the second sermon that is recorded of Peter in the context of Pentecost. So Acts chapter 3. Now when Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I give thee, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel you at this? Why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his Son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he has so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, Prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, in turning every one of you away from his iniquities. So far the reading of these holy scriptures of God. May the Lord bless the readings that we have heard so far. And let us now seek the Lord in prayer together. O great God of heaven and of earth, Almighty Savior of sinners, faithful provider and maintainer of this world and of us all together. Enable us, Lord, to lift up our hearts this morning in our voices of praise and worship. For Thee and for all Thy glorious works, Thou art worthy to be praised. And Lord, teach Thou us how to honor Thee and how to stand amazed this morning of Thee and of Thy Father through the Holy Spirit, for such is the supreme purpose of our gathering here this morning. It is not, Lord, for us in the first place, but it is for Thee that Thou gathers us here in this prayer and praise service of worship. And we pray, therefore, Lord, that Thou wilt teach us to stand amazed. Thy mercies are amazing. That we may be astounded by the boundlessness of Thy goodness. That we may marvel, as the people of Israel did here in this chapter we read, about the greatness of Thy power. In such an incredible miracle of raising a man born lame at his feet with a simple command. And oh gracious God, we pray this morning that Thou would help us to see that though we sin against Thee and made ourselves unable, as this man was, that to live before Thee, yet Thou hast not ceased to open Thy bountiful hands upon us in Thy care and in Thy loving kindnesses. And so, blessed Lord, we give tribute to Thee, to whom all thanksgiving, praise, and blessings belong. And if our hearts are cold and chilled, distracted and unmoved, yea, dead, then we beseech Thee, Lord, that this hour may be the hour to change us. As it was a changing moment for this man at the beautiful gate. For how many years he had sat there, and yet it became the day of Thy good pleasure on this day that we read of. And O faithful God, may such an hour strike to now, this hour, that also Thou wilt give, that the power of the Word and the Spirit combined may raise sinners from their spiritual lameness to walk and to leap with joy before Thee. And therefore, gracious God, we pray that Thou wilt teach us while we are young, that we may learn that we suffer in this life because of disobedience, because of pride, because of selfishness and wrong choices that we make ever since Adam rebelled against Thee, and we continue to do so also. Teach us, Lord, that Thou hast a very just cause to be angry with us over all of our sins, but that Thou still hast no desire to destroy us because of our sin. It is Thy own words that Thou spoke, Lord Jesus, I came not into this world to destroy man, but I came to save man. And therefore we may come before Thy throne with boldness this morning, though we are most undeserving, that Thou would graciously be among us to save us, Lord, and to lead us in the way of salvation. We beg thee to stretch out thy hand to heal us, as thou did with this man in this story. Lord, there is nothing we can do to save ourselves anymore. There is nothing we can do to heal our brokenness. But as thou did with him, so do with us. Create in us a new heart and a right spirit. And make us, O God, to know thee in the power of thy salvation. And then we thank thee not only for saving this man in this chapter of the Bible, but for saving millions and millions of people throughout this world. Each of them shows thy glory, and all of them together will display thy praise. And Lord, let it please thee to save many more today as the preachers go out to preach the word, and as thy preaching servants are to indeed also bring the message as Peter brought it, even to the lame hearts and to the powerless feet and to the dead hearts, Lord, thou hast promised that where the word is preached, that thou wilt do the rest. Thou wilt blow with thy spirit upon that which is barren and dead. And so, gracious God, we pray that thou wilt strengthen also the life of grace in all of thy children, that there may be more and more of the experience of the quickening power, the restoring power, the reviving influence of thy Spirit, and that thy children may be as what the fields we see around us, growing, Lord, more and more under the influences of thy grace, to bear fruit more and more. Thou hast promise that those that are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall be fat and flourishing. And Lord, may that also be the experience in thy people's lives, that their hearts may be filled with the peace in believing through the power of the Holy Ghost, and that our feet may be swift to run in the way of thy commandments, and that our mouth may be opened to declare the wonderful works of God, and to indeed so show forth thy glory. Lord, so bless thou each of them. Thou knowest what questions and struggles, what needs and fears we may be here together in this morning. Help thou all thy servants to preach, Lord, also to preach simple this morning, as we particularly like to bring the message to the level of our children. And will thou help us, Lord, to do so in this hour. We thank thee also for the joy of another brother accepted in our denomination, Lord, to begin the training for the ministry. And two others in our sister denomination in the Netherlands. We pray indeed that these men may become instruments through whom thy holy kingdom may come abundantly. Bless also Brother Whitfoot, Lord, as now he has finalized his studies, and as he may receive calls in this coming week, will thou also anoint him like we all need to be a faithful ambassador of Jesus Christ, and to make known his greatness as the only hope for poor sinners. Remember those who are sick today, as so many are sick and sad and lonely and in pain and unhappy. We bring all their needs before thee, Lord, and pray that thou would give healing, comfort, and strength. Especially we lift up our elderly members, two of them now in nursing homes, and others, Lord, at home, not able to be here today because of the pain in the body. We pray that thou would remember each of them. Also, pray for Keith in his physical and continued struggles, Lord, also mentally, with all the depression perhaps he struggles with. We just pray for him and his wife in our midst today. We bless the visitors that we may share this day with, Lord, from overseas on their vacation journey. We pray that thou bless them. All those that are listening with us at home, may also they experience together with us that thou art in our midst, and that the outcome of this service may be, Lord, that we humble ourselves at thy feet and stand in awe of thee, the great God of grace and mercy. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us together join with Psalter 309. The four verses, the Lord who has remembered us, his blessing will bestow. Psalter 309, and today your tithes and offerings are received to go to the general fund for the first collection, and the second today is for the building fund. May the Lord bless you and your gifts. Grace. Children, this morning I will again try to preach as simple as I can to you, to try to make the message of God as plain as you could perhaps follow it better that way. It's been a while that I have taken the first Sunday of the month to do so, but thought I will do it this day. Now we live in a state where you see lots of deer, and it is never tiring to look at those deer as they jump around with these beautiful, graceful jumps over a fence or ditch, and you see them just dancing away into the field with their little tail bobbing up and down. That's pretty, isn't it? It seems like those deer are always joyful, which is really not the case. They're fearful, but it looks they are joyful. I was thinking of that picture in my mind as I was reading the chapter this morning. Because there was this man in the temple who was just about skipping like a deer as he was walking into the gate called the Beautiful Gate for the first time in his life. And he wasn't even walking. He was jumping, skipping, it says, leaping with joy. It's amazing. When Luke heard about that story, no doubt the people he interviewed to find the details, because that's how Luke wrote the book of Acts, they might have told him, you know, Luke, it was just amazing. I mean, one moment he was laying on the ground, and the next moment he is standing up, and he is walking and jumping as if he did it for 40 years already. He didn't have to learn to walk and to balance like little kids have to learn that. Just like that, Luke, you cannot believe what we saw. Those people indeed would have said to Luke, we were stunned with astonishment. And then we heard Peter preach the sermon that he preached. Now I pray that this morning we may also be filled with the same awe and the same joy and the same praise for what God did for this man and for others. You hear what I say, right? These people were not so happy and joyful about themselves. They're happy and joyful about that man. They worshiped God, not so much for themselves. They praised the Lord for what the Lord did. That's worship. That's now real worship. So often we only praise God when we get the blessings. When we are benefited. But friends, that's not so much the pure worship that we see here in this chapter when people are praising the Lord as well. May that be given to us this morning. I'm going to speak to you today about Jesus healing the lame man. First thing, Jesus knew the lame man's needs. Secondly, Jesus spoke to the lame man's ears. And thirdly, Jesus healed the lame man's feet. Jesus knew about the lame man's needs. As I was studying this week, children, I found out this man was over 40 years old. You find that in the next chapter. And it says in this chapter that he was every day at the Beautiful Gate, probably since he was a little boy. Now, that Beautiful Gate was the main gate by which people went in and out of the temple. Guess what? Jesus walked past them probably many times. But he didn't do anything on that day. Until this day. Until this day that he came at the Beautiful Gate. You see, now, if he wasn't at the Beautiful Gate that day, then what would have happened? He would have not have his seat there at that gate. I do not know what would have happened. But I do know that was a good place to sit. The Beautiful Gate. One of the main gates in the temple. Now we read that John and Peter went up together at about 3:00 in the afternoon to go to the prayer day service. Every day had one of those prayer day services. And along with lots of other people, Peter and John are going to go there. They don't worship there the same way as they used to. But they are still doing that which they have done for many years. It's a very busy gate. At the gate we see a lame man. It says a lame man who was lame from his mother's womb, so as a little baby. His legs dangled ever since he was born. He never ran, he never biked, he never roller skated. He was always sitting. He couldn't run around, do work. The only thing he could do was beg. How boring. Beg. Beg. Please give me something. Please give me something. All day long, that's all he did. So children, when you do some chores this summer, think of this man. He would have traded any chore with you. Any chore, no matter how difficult, no matter how tiring, because he couldn't do anything like that, laying there at the beautiful gate. He had some kind friends that brought him there every day, but all he did was beg. Now, that's not only boring, it's also rather humbling. You always have to lift up your hands or to ask somebody to give you something. I wouldn't like doing that. That goes against my pride. He had maybe none of that left anymore, but all day sit there asking, asking. Yeah, what happened to this man needs to happen to you and me. That day that Peter and John walked past, children, that has to happen to you too. That Peter, by the word of God, spoke to him and lifted him up and made him walk. That now has to happen to you two children. And to me. You say, Pastor, I am not lame at my feet. Doesn't need for me. I can walk. Why do you say that I need that? Because Jesus knows you need it. How do you and I look like this man at the beautiful gate? Shall we think about that together? There's several ways this crippled man is like you and me. This crippled man is deformed. He is not able to do the normal things. This man can't walk. You say, but I can. Yeah, you can with your body. But there's other ways we can't. And we like this man. Let's think about four ways in which we're like him. Pray that the Holy Spirit may show you at this very moment that this picture of this man is you and me. First of all, where is he sitting? Outside the beautiful gate. He's not allowed to go into the temple. He has to stay on the churchyard. He cannot come to that door out there. Never is he allowed to go into the temple. That was one of God's rules. That a body that was deformed and that was not right couldn't go into the temple. That was a picture, of course. That was no doubt very difficult for those people, but it was a picture that God wanted everyone to learn. You cannot come in my presence unless you are good and perfect. Are you good and perfect? Are you always obedient? Do you always love the Lord with your whole heart? Do you love every one of your neighbors, including your brothers and sisters, more than yourself? If we are indeed not perfect, we can't live in God's heaven. We can't live in God's new earth that is to come. We live like him, friends, in an outside broken world. We live in a world full of sickness and brokenness and war, don't we? This is not a pretty place. It is beautiful outside in nature, of course. But if you look a little farther and you open the newspaper and you look at people's lives, there is everywhere sadness. There's everywhere grief. There's everywhere fights. There's everywhere brokenness. And that is because we are like this man outside of the beautiful gate of paradise God once created. Our life is not like a paradise life. And children, you're too young to realize What I say is so true. Maybe your life is so beautiful and you are so protected, and be thankful for that. But that is not what it will always feel like when you grow up and you begin to realize what all of us grown-ups are learning one way or the other. We live outside the beautiful gate. Now, like him, children, we don't have the beautiful bodies and souls that God gave us when he created us. Of course, you may not have limits like this man. You may be able to run, but your body isn't perfect either. How many times have you been sick this past winter? Some of us are born with sickness. Some of us are sick. We struggle with pain and we have our hurts and we have our difficulties, some worse than others. But our bodies aren't perfect. But even worse is the heart that lives within. They aren't perfect. And you know that. Just like this man, we are lame. We cannot live with each other in peace and joy. Is there ever a day in your life you don't fight with your brothers and sisters? Is there ever a day that you are saying at the end of the week, maybe, Mom and Dad, this week I have been totally respectful all the time, in every moment, listened to you immediately, joyfully done my work? There's never a week like that. Why is that? Because like this man, we're lame. Our heart is lame. We can't run the way we ought to run. We can't live with gentleness and care and respect and thinking others are better than we. Now, there's a third way we're like this man. And Jesus knows that too. Jesus knows all this, and he's telling us all this in the Bible. But hopefully you and I are learning it. We, like this man, can't fix our own problems. We cannot change our own hearts. We cannot change our sinfulness. Each day this man woke up with lame feet and no one and nothing could cure him. Sure, you could put him in a wheelchair, but he still has lame feet. Yeah, you could give him an iPod, but he still has lame feet. Yeah, you give him the best things in the world, but he still has lame feet. That's how it is now. I know there's a tremendous hunger in us as young and older ones for the things of the world. We want a boat, we want a better house, we want a bigger car, we want this and that going, and everything that the others have, I want to have that too. And the whole day, sometimes maybe you're thinking, I wish. Now if you had all your wishes, guess what? You'd still be lame in your soul. You still couldn't run to the beautiful gate in the beautiful life that God once created for us to enjoy. You could have all the things of the world and you will not be joyful. Yeah, just imagine that we put this man that is lame in the beautiful gardens, in the beautiful homes, with everything. After a little while, you think, what would he think? If only I could walk. If only I could walk. You see? That's the same now with us. We, like him, cannot fix our problem. And our deepest problem is in our heart, that most unreachable of all places in this world. Out of that heart flows a fountain and stream of evil thoughts, of selfish motives, of constant imaginations, of things and of wishes. And every day we are feeling this heart. Do you? Do you feel that heart too as a problem? Children, do you ever sigh when you pray, Lord, I am so tired of my heart. I am so sick of my own heart. Are we ever saying that to God? Out of the conviction of our own hearts. Now fourthly, like him, we aren't allowed to enter into beautiful life with God. If I would picture this beautiful gate and behind that beautiful gate lies this enormous temple. That's a massive temple. It's a pretty building, of course. It's an impressive building. Everyone was impressed by that building. Now, that's a picture of let's make that a picture of the life with God. That's not a building. That's so beautiful. There's no words for it. In the next coming Sundays, we hope to hear more about that. But we may not live with God. We are not allowed to live with God anymore because we have so deeply hurt and so deeply grieved and so greatly offended our Creator that He has placed us outside of the beautiful life with God in paradise. Just like this man, we may be carried to the gate, but no farther. And mind you, that's not just for a few days that you're grounded outside. In the day you eat thereof, you shall die. That was the word. Forever. Outside the beautiful gate. Forever. Never a vacation of that. Never a break in that. Forever. Now Jesus knew about this lame man's need. He does also about you and mine. And children, there is none more aware of the fact of what you need than Jesus Christ. He as the great doctor in heaven and as the great doctor of our soul knows exactly where you are and what you need. I don't, you don't, but He does. Jesus is our Creator. He made us. Jesus is the one who has brought us into this world. And now He's also the only one that can recreate you. And this morning He's in our midst. He is. In the name of Jesus Christ, I preach to you. Was Jesus there when Peter and John was there? Yeah, when John or Peter reached out his hand, whose hand really reached that man? That was Jesus' hand. When Peter spoke those words, rise up and walk, who really spoke there? It's Jesus who spoke. So this morning, that same Lord Jesus that healed this man, who knows your needs, is here with us every Sunday. Jesus is here. You ever thought about that? You see me, but forget about me. Could be anybody but me. But whoever preaches this word in the name of Christ, then Jesus is here. And there are times we feel that, don't we? And may it be this morning that we experience it like this man experienced it. Let's sing together 293, just the first verse now, and between the next points, we'll sing the last two verses of that. So, 293 verse 1, and there we have a picture of this man, and you and me, rebels, who had dared to show proud contempt of God Most High. That's what we did. Now we are bound in iron, and in woe the shades of death and darkness nigh. Humbled low with toil and pain, fell and looked for help in vain. There is no help in man. That's what we are going to sing together. Let's pray that the Lord may help us to see this in our own heart. 293 verse 1, and we'll stand together.
hope in vain.
Second teaching that Jesus gives us here is that Jesus spoke to the lame man's ear. We read in verse 3 that that Peter and John are walking into the temple, and as this man sitting there, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. An alms is just a word for he asked them a gift. So I imagine him sitting there, and he sees other people walking through, and all of a sudden he sees Peter and John. Whether he knew them or not is not known to us. But there comes his voice, "Please help me, poor man. Please, may I have something? I can't work and I can't walk and I need to eat. Can you please give me something?" Now, most people have seen him for all these last 10, 20, 30 years. They're used to him. First time you see a real beggar, it's kind of a shock. After a while, you get used to them. Sad to say. I've seen beggars in other countries. Seen beggars in this country too, but especially when you see young children begging. Seen those in Indonesia and in China. That really moved my heart. But I suppose if I walk every day the same street and I see those same kids, I'll probably walk past it eventually. Many people did. And so maybe Peter and John have seen this man sitting there too many times already. But today, it's like the Holy Spirit moves John and Peter. It says, Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." He walks up to him. And obviously the man wasn't looking at him. Why is not? Why, he's just probably just saying something. And looking at the next person, thinking that they will just pass by again. Look on us. Maybe he's expecting something like the scribes and the Pharisees often did. They often did that too. Once they give something, they want everybody else to see it too. So they would sometimes even hire a trumpeter to blow on the trumpet. And then they would give the poor man his money. What a filthy hypocrisy. Just to look good. And maybe he thought, well, this is another one of those too. Look on us. Let us see your eyes, men, and look on us. Hey, maybe he thought, today I'm going to be lucky. I'm going to get some coins. Somebody's going to give me something. So he looked up. He didn't care about whether these men were pride that asked him to look upon him. He only cared about the fact that he wanted to have some coins. So he could buy some food. So he looks up at Peter and John. And the first words that Peter said must have felt like a cold shower. "I have no gold and silver. I can't help you with that." Maybe he sighed already. But as Peter goes on, he says, "But such as I give unto thee, such as I have, I will give unto thee. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Peter's word must have been bewildering to this man. Maybe he didn't even hear the first part, "In the name of Jesus Christ." But maybe he only heard the last part, "Rise up and walk." That almost feels cruel. To say that, isn't it? Rise up and walk. The man has never walked. It's like me saying to a blind man, "Look at this beautiful painting, man." That's mockery. When I say to a totally deaf man, "Got to listen to this music. It's so beautiful." How could Peter and John say to this man, "Rise up and walk"? He commanded him to do something that he couldn't do. He might have felt offended, maybe. He might have felt it was cruel. But Peter did. You know, why did Peter ask him to look and to listen to him first? Why do you think he did? Because Peter and John wanted him to know that something happens here is not because of me, not because of us men. Peter wanted him never to forget what happened to him was done by the Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ. He wanted never him to think that Peter made him better. Right? Peter had to say that later in the sermon. He says, brethren, don't look at us. Don't marvel at us. Why do you look so earnestly at us as this we, by our own power or holiness, made this man to walk? That's none of it. So he wanted to have this man look. Who does this come from? This comes from Jesus Christ alone. Jesus spoke to Peter. Jesus reaches out his hand through Peter. And we need to learn like that man this morning that Jesus speaks to your ears, not Pastor Fregonst. Not Pastor ... So the reading service, to the preaching service, there'll be a day I'll be gone, and every preacher is gone. But the word of Jesus is here. Children, look at me. In the name of Jesus, I preach to you. Yeah? It is the Lord Jesus that calls you. It is the Lord Jesus that warns you. It is the Lord Jesus that invites you. In the name of Jesus, the preacher preaches. In the same way as Peter and John and all the apostles did. And you know what happened here is in several places called a wonder and a miracle, but also sometimes called a sign. Now, this miracle that this man could all of a sudden walk, obviously is a miracle. But it's also a sign. A sign means it tells me something. It is a message. What is this now a sign of? What this man is happening, what is happening to this man is a sign of something that Jesus is going to come to do to the whole world. Let me read you one beautiful promise out of the book of Isaiah. And tonight we'll say more on that. In Isaiah 35, the wilderness and the solitary, that is the lonely place, shall be glad. The desert, think of that, sand, shall rejoice and shall blossom as the rose. The desert, yeah, shall blossom abundantly. It shall rejoice with joy and singing. And then in the later verse, the eyes of the blind shall be opened. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer. And the tongue of the dumb who can't speak shall sing. For in the wilderness shall break out water and streams in the desert. And all this barren ground shall become like a pool, and the thirsty ground shall become like springs of water. This is a beautiful prophecy about what Jesus is doing here in the beginning of the church. And that's just a sign about what's going to happen when he comes back. Tonight I hope to preach about, I believe, in the resurrection of the body. The lame shall leap, the blind shall see, the deaf shall hear, the mute shall speak. Here's a picture of it. We have it in the beginning part of the New Testament, church. We have this picture of what Jesus will do and what the world again will be like in the future. This whole work of salvation that we see here in the book of Acts. First, these people who begin to share everything that they have. The one who has too much gives to the one who doesn't have enough. They are together as a family. They spend time in each other's houses. They invite each other to their own houses. Their houses are used as a place to share, not to just live by yourself. Yeah, the goods that they have are given to share, not just for yourself. Now that's the New Testament beginning of the church. Sadly, it didn't stay that way. But that's a picture of the future. Of the future when Jesus shall come back. And not only that life, but also this, what we see with this lame man, is a sign, is a picture of the world to come. And that is what Jesus here is teaching us this morning. And that's why this man was to look at Jesus behind Peter and John. And so you are to look behind the person who speaks the word of God to you. That can be mom and dad at home, when they read the Bible, when they teach you. That is me here on the pulpit. When Peter says, look on us, he says, no, don't look at us only, no, look at the one who's behind us, who speaks to you, who brings the word of God to you, who also commands you in this morning. We are to look and we are to listen to Jesus to experience His healing and restoration. Now, what is it Jesus speaking to our ears? Well, let's listen. That such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. He said, but he said it to that man, not to us. Yeah? Later on in the sermon that Peter preaches, an hour later or so, notice what he says in verse 12. When he begins to preach to these people, you men of Israel, don't look at us. We didn't do this. But I want you to listen to me. You lame people. You are so lame, you took Jesus and killed him. You're so fallen, you're so wrong, you're so sinful, you denied Jesus in the place where a Pilate was. You didn't stand up for him. And you chose someone to be murdered who was good. And you chose someone who was bad to live. You did that. Terrible people. Now, Peter did it himself too, of course. No excuses when you did it in ignorance. You did it. And now, brethren, I tell you, rise up and walk. Verse 19. Repent ye. And be converted. Rise up and walk. That's the same. Do not forget, that's the same this morning. Repent ye and be converted. The Lord Jesus calls us to turn away from our sins and to believe in Him. But like this man had lame feet, so you have a heart that is dead. And you have a heart that is lame. And you have a heart that is sinful. You're not able to listen to these commands of God. And do not forget that there's none else who knew that better than you do. Jesus himself knows that. Children, look for a moment at me. Listen to what he said. No man can come to me except the Father draws him. Takes him by his hand. Just like Peter took that man. And yet, what does the same Lord Jesus say? Repent, you child, from those sinful attitudes, from those sinful words to your mom and dad, from those sinful actions to your brother and sister, from this coveting. Repent, you child, from always wanting better and more and nicer and bigger. Repent, ye child, from those attitudes. And be converted. That's also what he says. He said, but Lord Jesus, I cannot do that because my heart is evil. I am just like that lame man who cannot jump up and walk in the beautiful gate. So I cannot jump up and turn around. No, you can't. And still you have to. We can't make a decision to end the slavery of our sin. We can't walk out of the slavery to sin as little as this man could step out of being lame in his feet, friends. We cannot turn our life over to a new beginning. We cannot heal our own hearts as this layman could not heal his own feet. Indeed. And so in our soul we are in the same place as this layman is. If he was going to be healed and leap up, he needs more than someone speaking to his ears. He needs someone that would take his hand. Let us sing together the second verse and the third, and cry in our own hearts these words that we will sing from 293. To Jehovah, then they cried in their trouble, and he saved through the prison open wide where they lay to death and slave. Let's stand again with Psalter 293, verse 2 and 3. Jesus knew his needs. Jesus speaks to his heart. Jesus knows our needs. Jesus speaks to our ear. And Jesus needs to take our hand, or our heart. As this man looked and heard Peter's words, and perhaps before he even realized exactly what Peter said, maybe he heard those last words, still rise up and walk, and he's thinking, now why would you say such a thing to me? And all of a sudden he feels a hand grasping his own hand. Never has anybody ever done that. And Peter pulls him up like that. I can imagine that people are astounded. All of a sudden, this man who's been lame for 40 years is jumping up. He leaps into the air. It says he took him by his right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, walked, stood, and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping like a deer, praising God. Beautiful. Never again does he need to sit outside of the beautiful gate. But now he is allowed to go in and to praise God inside the temple. Now, this is a miracle. This is a great miracle. It needs to take place also with us this morning. Just as the man was commanded, so God commands us. Let me never riddle that down, friends. There are some preachers who do not like to preach that to you. I can't not preach what the Scripture says to you. And so, children and adults, what does now God call you and me to do? Stand up and rise. Doesn't God know you're fallen? Better than you. Doesn't God know that I cannot restore myself? He knows it better than you. So then why should He preach to us like that? To humble your pride. That's why. For as we grow up, we can do everything, can't we? We are so capable, we think. But we are not capable at all. Just as Jesus did with this man, so He needs to do with us. He needs to free us. His mighty hand needs to heal us. His recreating glory needs to make us alive. And if the Lord Jesus doesn't do that, we will remain outside of this gate forever and forever. That is the simple and the solemn truth. Outside. Beautiful life with God. Don't be a fool, friends. Don't think that if you have the world and all the pleasures of your heart and all the desires of your heart that you have life made. You haven't life made. You're dying in a dying world with dying things. Let's get it straight. This earth is a cadaver. What is that? That is a rotting, dead animal. That's what this earth is. Yeah, it's pretty. It's beautiful. But it is cursed. It's so stinking that when Jesus comes back, He's going to burn the whole place from top to bottom to clean it out. So stinking in His sight. Now let's be clear about that. When we live in this life without Christ and without God, we live outside the beautiful gate. As Peter said in the end of the sermon, He shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution. That means restoration of all things. So, dear congregation, dear children, we need to be at this beautiful gate. And though Jesus is now in heaven, as I preach to you, what is He doing? Let me read you something from the next chapter. In chapter 4, if you have your Bible open, you can read with me. In verse 29 of chapter 4 and verse 30. And now, Lord, the people of God pray, behold their threatenings. Grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. Let's not be afraid, Lord. And then notice the next verse. As they speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal. And that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. You see what preaching is? As I preach to you the word, I'm stretching forth the hand of Jesus to you. That's what preaching is. And therefore God has promised that He would bless the preaching of the word to our hearts through the touching of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how does now the Lord stretch out His hand to heal sinners? Just like this man takes hold of you by the command of His word. Not literally. Peter took hold of this man here literally. But when I preach, don't you ever feel that hand of God on you? When the word of God is preached, when you feel that command, rise up and walk. That's God's hand. And if it really is the hand of Jesus blessing it to you, then your heart will answer. So don't answer to God, "Lord, I can't do this, so I'm excused. Lord, I am not able to arise and to walk." Yes, He knows that. May I not say that to the Lord? Yes, you may. But do it in the way that Augustine did. In his Confessions, this man of God write this: "My whole hope is thy great mercy, and that alone. Give me what thou commands me, and then command what thou wilt." Well, that's a beautiful how Augustine said that. "Lord, my only hope is thy mercy." And he hears the command of God, and he goes back to the very God who commands, and he says, "Lord, grant me what thou commands me to do, and then command what thou wilt, and I will do it." See, Augustine knows he can't get away from God's command. You cannot get away from God's will. We stand guilty before the Lord. Therefore, children, go on your knees and beg God to grab your hearts with His word. Go on your knees and speak to Him in prayer. Go to Him and then tell Him uprightly, "Lord, I cannot, but really I don't want to give up my life outside the beautiful gate. That's how foolish I am. That is how utterly foolish I am. I so like it outside in this beautiful gate life, that even when thou art standing to plead with me, I really don't want to come inside." Tell him that. Beg God through Jesus to take hold of your hand, your heart. Confess to Him. Cry to Him to draw you. And while you cry, keep placing yourself at the beautiful gate. Where's the beautiful gate? The Bible. Vacation started for most of you this week, children. No early morning, perhaps, having to rush to get things ready for school. Where's the beautiful gate in your house? That's this book. That's the Bible. Will you be found every day sitting at the beautiful gate? No matter how busy. No, you're not really busy. There's a promise that I'll give to you, that I'll read to you. In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 8, listen to this proverb and this promise about this gate. "Blessed is the man that hears me, waiting daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord." Are you one of those that will be like that young man that I heard once the story about? You might remember, I told you before. You might say he was handicapped. He didn't have all the brain power that you and I have. So he couldn't have a very good job. So his uncle employed him to sweep the floor on the work site and to pick up the little bits and pieces here and there. And every day he did that, joyfully. Hot or cold, that's what he did. Every morning his uncle would pick him up to go to work. 7:30. Blowing the horn on the car when he's standing on the driveway, he woke up the boy because he'd overslept. It was 7:30 already, he was still in bed. So he opened the window. Uncle! Uncle heard him finally. Open his window of the car. What? Sorry, I overslept. But you have to wait for me. I first have to pray and read God's word. And then I'll come. And Uncle could wait. And Uncle waited. Will that be you? That young man. We didn't have all the brain power. He had more wisdom than most of us children. Daily, he sat at the beautiful gate. Will you? Amen. Let's pray. Thank thee, Lord God, for this so marvelous sign of thy work. Miracle indeed that needs to take place in all of us spiritually. Oh gracious God, touch us. May we learn by the grace and the power of the Spirit that thou would move our heart from this utterly unbeautiful life, outside of paradise, without God. Oh God, move our hearts and convict us, that we may see our sin as the great separator and destroyer. Our disobedience also, not only to the law, but also our disobedience to the gospel. Because, Lord, we cannot obey the gospel call either anymore. And therefore we trust that thou would reach out thy hand to touch, to the healing of souls in our midst. O blessed Lord, all honor and glory of all salvation belongs to thee. And though it seems a foolish way, and the foolishness of preaching, to tell a layman to rise and to walk, and to tell a dead man to repent and to be converted, it is to the foolishness of such preaching that thou wilt save sinners. Do so among us, as thou did and hast done throughout all the ages. We ask it, O Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us close with Psalter 431. Hear, O children, hear, saith the Lord who bore thee. Never serve nor fear gods of wood or stone. I am God alone. Worship and adore me. May God enable us to do so. We sing verses 3 to 6 of Psalter 431 and remind the congregation that tonight we have our monthly singing after the church service. 431, 3 to 6.
Thank you.
Son, and Holy Ghost.
Receive the blessing of the Lord God, and let us go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.